I love the way Jesus uses contrasting images to the extent of comedy to drive a point home. Nobody lights a lamp and then puts it underneath a bowl. Now, perhaps that takes us needs us to unpack it a little bit, because we don't use oil lamps generally in everyday life. Something similar to our own experience might go something like this. Hi, is that Lantern World? Yeah. Yeah, I bought a couple of items from you the other day. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'm having problems getting them to work, or getting them to stay to work, and I just wondered if you could give me some advice. Yeah, well, yeah, no, I did all the things you meant to do to get it ready, and then I lit it, yeah. Yeah, and it's shining fine, yeah, yeah. It's just it doesn't stay that way. It's all right until you stick a bowl over it, and then the room goes dark. Yeah, the room goes dark when you stick... Yeah, I said when you stick a bowl over it. Yeah, no, it's fine. It works fine to begin with. You can see nice and clear. It's great. It's doing everything it should. But the moment you stick a bowl over it... Yeah, a bowl. What do you mean you're not meant to stick a bowl over it? Well, I want to do... Well, because it might get damaged if I don't... I want to protect it. So that's why... What do you mean you're not meant to put a bowl over the top? What do you mean it's not the lamp that's dim? Jesus' point is to the point of ridiculous, isn't it? Really, where he's saying that, you know, you don't put a lamp and then cover it over. That would just be a stupid thing to do. And yet Jesus sets that image before us. He knows that we need to be challenged. The question that perhaps I'd like to pull out from that for us to think about over these next few minutes is, what might be the bowl that we try to put over our lamps? And I wonder whether perhaps in some ways it stems from one single challenge, and it's that we perhaps, our biggest bowl is we don't recognise the extent of the power that is in us. That when we make that decision to follow Jesus, it's not just a decision that we make with our minds, but the living presence of God, his Holy Spirit, who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in us. That's what we're talking about. And that power is in us, and yet we don't recognize it. And perhaps that's the biggest bowl, our lack of recognition of just how strong that light is. Maybe the problem is that too much of the time we try to be a Clark Kent Christian. Now you think about Clark Kent. You see, Clark Kent, most of the time, he's kind of going about his business, and he goes to the office and his life is quite normal. And yet, that's not who he really is, is it? He knows that there are powers deep inside him, but he goes on about his everyday business with his real identity disguised until he sees somebody that needs saving, at which point things change. When he knows that somebody's in trouble and he's got a job to do, and I want to suggest that the problem, the challenge facing us, is we spend too much time being Clark Kent, not being Superman. Because that is who we are in Christ. God's Holy Spirit is in us, and he wants us to play that part in saving the world. And that might sound like a melodramatic way of putting it, but is it not the case that actually we're quite happy to show that on a Sunday when we're hanging out around with other Christians? But how long does it take before we get to, certainly by Monday morning, where we button up again? You know, and we don't want to cover that up. And we, you know, it goes back to normal. And it might be the odd occasion, perhaps during the week, that we might, perhaps if we see another Christian, then, you know, it might be...
Maybe we see an ichthus somewhere. Yeah.
It might be that there's the odd little show during the week that sort of, we might say something, oh, God bless you. I'll pray for you. As though that's going to change everything. Of course, if we get together midweek with other Christians, then it's okay to talk about Jesus. We can flex our spiritual muscles then. But the danger can be that we spend all our time talking about Jesus with other people who already know Jesus, rather than talking about Jesus with those who don't know Jesus and need to know Jesus. Maybe that's the fundamental thing. That biggest bowl, that we don't recognize the power that actually exists within us, the power of the Holy Spirit that God gives us. Maybe it might be part of that because we're worried that if we do talk about Jesus, then it's gonna make us look silly. Or we're going to say the wrong thing, or we're going to put people off. Perhaps we're fear of failure in that regard. What if we try to start a conversation about Jesus, or we try and mention him, and somehow it might go wrong? I wonder whether we underestimate the extent of intrigue that there is within people. Because I find that, with one or two exceptions, most of the time, when I get into conversation about Jesus with people that don't know about Jesus, they actually want to talk about him. There is an intrigue that we can underestimate, particularly among the younger generations. That in a material world, in a world that has little to say about ultimate meaning and purpose and value, and that covers it up. When that opportunity is there to talk about spirituality, to talk about everlasting things, to talk about hope and security, actually there's a desperate passion and thirst and hunger to talk about such things. Maybe we just need to reclaim that confidence. Not in ourselves, but in the God that actually people do want to know. Maybe it might be that we just haven't got it ourselves, and that's okay, so long as we realize that it's not ourselves that we're called to share. It's the Holy Spirit that lives within us that we're called to share. A teenager called Patrick from Cumbria felt a profound call by God to share the gospel. He had no schooling, and throughout his whole life, he felt that he really didn't have much to offer, and yet he felt that God was calling him to share the gospel. And he had lots of opposition, and lots of people put him down, and yet he went on throughout his life to lead so many people to Christ. Even as an old man, he said this: "Today I still blush and fear more than anything to have my lack of learning brought out into the open." Even though by then he was a recognized Christian leader, he felt that inner insecurity. And yet, despite all of those struggles, Patrick remained convinced that God had indeed called him to be an evangelist. He wrote this: "We are a letter of Christ for salvation, even to the back of beyond. And what does it matter if it is not a learned letter? For it is still to be found valid and plain for all to read, written in your very hearts, not in ink, but by the Spirit of the living God." Now, Patrick lived around 1500 years ago. And today, his more eloquent contemporaries have long been forgotten. But the impact of St. Patrick's ministry in Ireland is still recognized around the world today. Perhaps then the reason why we hide that light under the bushel, why we'd prefer to go around as Clark Kent rather than as Superman, is we don't recognize that it is the power of God that lives in us, not our own weaknesses, that will make the difference. You see, we are called as church not to be a cruise ship, but a lifeboat. We're called to be not to enter into a cozy, comfortable faith, although it brings us comfort and it brings us peace and it brings us hope. But we're called to look out as a lifeboat crew, to be a light to the world. I'm going to ask you a question as we come to pray shortly. And I want you to imagine, and I'm not going to ask you to share this with anybody else, but I want you to just think of somebody that played a really important part in your own Christian faith journey. Somebody that was really significant in leading you to Jesus. Now, my guess is probably the moment you're asked that question, you'll think of lots of different people. But I'm just asking you now to think of just one. It might have been a parent or a family member. It might have been somebody who was a Sunday school teacher or a youth leader. It might have been a minister or a preacher that maybe you only ever met once, but a sermon that you heard that changed everything. Maybe it was a writer of a book that you never met, but that book changed you. Maybe it was someone who you saw on YouTube. But think of one person right now and hold them in your mind. That one person that made a significant difference to you in your coming to Jesus. And now I want you to imagine that you were to go to that person and ask them the very same question that I've just asked you. In other words, to ask them to identify one person that led them to Jesus. And now imagine you were to go to that person and ask them the same question again. Who would they name as being a particular influence in their faith journey? And then whoever they name, imagine you were to go to them with the same question. You can see where this is going. Imagine that you were to keep on going back, going back, going back across the generations. Hundreds of years, thousands of years. Right through history, along the chain until eventually you get to the disciples and Jesus himself. There is a direct link between you and them. You have a spiritual pedigree of some 2,000 years. Now the question I want to ask you now is, let's just imagine that somebody a few years from now is asked the same question. Somebody who you know. And somebody a few years from now is asked the question, who played a really significant part in leading you to Jesus? And the person that they name is you. You see, you are placed, along with all of us, are placed in a unique position that nobody else on this earth throughout history will occupy. Only you are you. Only you carry the light that you can carry, because only you are the unique person that's been created, that is known as you, with the unique combination of experiences and contacts and relationships. And God calls you to shine in the way that only you can shine. What happens if we don't allow that light to shine, and we do cover it up? Let's pray. Lord, you call us to let the light of your Holy Spirit shine. Help us to do that. Help us to have the confidence, not in us, but in you. May we know your power living in us this day and every day. In Jesus' name. Amen.